Our gracious God, it is no small thing to be spoken to by the living God. Speak to us on the inward parts, that we would not be simply hearers of your word, but doers. We pray that you would give us a joyous obedience to your word and to apply it in every area of our lives, that we may never be the same before you because of your deep, yearning grace within our hearts. Lead us now, we pray, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If we can open our Bibles to the 8th chapter of Paul's letter to the Romans, I understand this evening that you will be hearing further later on in the chapter 8 of Romans, and I will be dealing this morning with the first four verses. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weakened through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. The atmosphere of the writing of Paul as he relates to the implications of the gospel in his life and shares the what has happened amongst the people of God. He says that there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. There is no sense of doubt in this, that we are now forgiven of all our sins. We are forgiven of all our sins that we are now committing. What we have committed in the past, and what we shall commit in the future. Of course, it is not our aim to sin, but there is a sense of pardon, that there is a sense in which we have been released from a prison that is worse than any physical prison on the face of the earth. It is the prison of sin and death, the very inward enemies of the believer. And we find that in this, that there is a newness of relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He has intervened on our behalf. The Apostle Paul could not say these things earlier in his Christian, pilgrimage. Before he was able to declare this declaration of relief and peace with God, in verse 14 of chapter 7, he was groaning within himself, very religious, very zealous for what was the true religion as he saw it. For he says, for we, in verse 14 of chapter 7, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. A person that is sold under sin is imprisoned and surrendered to sin. And the cause of his dead condition before God was one of utter hopelessness. Utterly sold. This is not a Christian testimony. We find that he is completely imprisoned by his condition of alienation from God. He did not have a personal relationship with God, except that he could say that the law of God is spiritual. It is good. I agree that the law of God is right, but I cannot do it. I find in my flesh, as hard as I do it, all I become is a moralist. I do not become a genuine believer in God. We find he found himself utterly undone before the law of God. As good as it was not something that he could say that he did. Although he was zealous for the law, he sought to do everything he could in terms of the law, but in the end, it declared him as unrighteous. All it was for him at that point was a tutor to say that you are dead in your sins and trespasses. That was his condition at this particular point of his pilgrimage. He was yet being effectually called out of darkness into the marvellous light of God. He was one that was able to admit to himself that he was a sinner of sinners. And he was the worst of sinners, he said in other places. But he was one that was beginning to see that the excellencies of Christ was the only way forward. There was a law apart from the law, a righteousness apart from the law, that was found in the Lord Jesus Christ. It was because the Lord Jesus Christ had become sin for him. And it says here that in verse 3, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of the flesh, sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. He was beginning to see that Jesus was more than a teacher, although he was a very good teacher. He was beginning to see that Jesus was more than a healer and a miracle worker. He was beginning to see that Jesus was the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. That was a primary purpose for Jesus as he came amongst us in our flesh. He came as a sacrifice. Not the sacrifice of a martyr, but a sacrifice of a redeemer promised in the Old Testament, spoken of through the sacrifices that were being offered at the tabernacle and in the homes on the Passover. We find that Jesus came as the new man in the likeness of our flesh. Now we find in that account that there is a newness of work, God's work within his life, that he was beginning to realize that the excellencies of Jesus was the only way. It was the truth by which he could come to God. It was indeed the life that he desperately needed. And we found that in Jesus, although the old Adam in the flesh had only one course to go, was that the frowning of the grave was beckoning him to come and lie in this place Here lies a sinner, dead and buried. And so we find that God provided another. This was the second Adam, as it were. The one that lived under the law. The one that was able to come and bear his body as the sacrifice for our sin. Why did he do this? And we can only say one thing. It is the grace of God. Why did he do it? Because he had mercy upon us. Now, for us to turn away from this, as the Spirit of God preveniently works upon our hearts, awakens us to our real condition before God, realizing that we are a sinner before God and God alone, we will begin to realize that Jesus is the most excellent Savior, is the only Savior that ever has faced this sin. He came as man, but he also came fully as God. And he lived under the law in such a manner that he submitted himself to the cross of Calvary. And he died in our place, forgiving us of all our sin. In other words, the covenant of grace had been fulfilled amongst us. Now the status of the covenant of grace, established as a promise with Adam, where he would put enmity between the woman and her seed, his seed, we would see that the covenant, the promises of God, would be yes and amen in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we find that in Isaiah 40, where he says, openly and clearly, in the light of this sacrifice, for Isaiah it was yet to be fulfilled. Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem, the city of God, and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned. In other words, her iniquity is forgiven. And she has now received her pardon papers to walk out of the prison that she finds herself in. And she has received from God's hand double for all her sin. In other words, we find that there is a work of God's just salvation. Jesus is not only the justifier, but he is just in what he has done. He has paid the price. He has redeemed us from all iniquity. And he is able to declare us as pardoned, forgiven, set free from the bondage of our sin, that we might now live for the glory of our Saviour. We find also in Luke, as the Lord Jesus himself was beginning his ministry, he says in chapter 4 and verse 18, that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, in spirit, that is. That he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted and proclaim liberty to the captives and to recover the sight to the blind and set at liberty those who are oppressed and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And then he says, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. In other words, the status of the covenant of God has moved from being a promise into a fulfilled reality within the people of God, in those that who are in Christ, united to Christ in his death, burial and resurrection. And there we see a newness of spirit coming within our hearts. It is, as it were, that we are being baptized by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The prophet John said concerning Jesus, "He who comes after me will baptize you in the Spirit." In other words, he will regenerate your heart. He will give you a spirit that is able to understand that you have been pardoned and set free from your sin. This is the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, but worked by God the Spirit in our hearts, that we might be set free to live for him in every respect. And so we find in our first reading of chapter 33 of Jeremiah, where he says that the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant that is not another covenant, but a renewed covenant that will be a new status by which we can now walk with God. And the kind of covenant will be a living covenant, not telling us about something, but applying something to us that comes from our God himself. He says, the work of God's Spirit within us personally will put a new law within our minds and write it upon our hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. They will know the Lord, and they shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. And so it allows a newness of spirit that is within us. In other words, we are those who are called the very children of God, not by some sort of inheritance, but by a newness of the Spirit of God that has given us the spirit of adoption, by which we might cry up to God, Abba, our Father. There is a personal and real changed disposition within us because the covenant of God has now been fulfilled, and the workings of God are at its work within our hearts. And so we find that a new kind of righteousness described in the Old Testament law, but fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ, the spirit of true righteousness will now be evident and growingly evident within our Christian lives. And it begins with the understanding that we are now without condemnation. We are now set free. We are now able to take our pardon papers from the judge and take it to the front door of the prison and give it to the warder and say, let me out. And say, why should I let you out? Well, I've got a pardon paper here, sir. Who gave you that pardon paper? You should have been here for the termination of your life. Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came and died in my place. The Lord Jesus Christ gave you this? Yes, he did. It's got my name on it. Yes, it has. And he's the only one qualified to do that. For he rose again from the dead. And he's seated at the right hand of the Father. And he rules the nations. and he's chosen you to come to me, you may go out with your pardon paper, and the angels of heaven will see that there is a blood, the blood of the Lamb that is sprinkled upon my mercy, the mercy seat of my own conscience and soul. And they will see this man is a child of God. We are now in Christ. We are now set free. Our sins are forgiven. Why is it that we can't live in any other way but according to the righteous ways of Christ? We are indebted to Christ for his grace toward us. We are those that have the Spirit of Christ within us now. We do not walk according to the flesh. Certainly the flesh exists in us. Certainly the flesh is part of us. I look at my hand and I see the flesh. I can see that there are wrinkles and it's getting older. It's growing older. But I'm now constituted differently. I still have the flesh, but it's crucified with Christ. Still alive, still railing against me, but all it can do is speak against me. It cannot do anything against me. It is dying day by day. But the Spirit lives and gives me power over the flesh. The non-believer hasn't got that. He is enslaven by his flesh. As much as he tries to discipline it and be a little bit better person, but he is still governed by it. He is still under the dominion of the flesh. And he wrestles inwardly. And he screams out. He says, "Why can't I be delivered from this?" O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of death? We are able to say, are we not? I hope we are. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, with the mind I serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. I now have a power that is able to live beyond myself. I now are able to walk according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh. Because the flesh is crucified and the Spirit is more powerful than the flesh. Indeed, it's more powerful than any enemy that I have. It may take some time to deal with certain issues that we are facing that are fleshly. But in the end, we are more than conquerors in Jesus Christ. And so we find that there is a growing sense of hungering and thirsting for righteousness. I mourn over my sin. I hate my sin, but I love righteousness. So here there is a completely different disposition in my heart. Our walk is according to the Spirit. That is the reason why I know that Jesus loves me. It's not because I've named and claimed salvation. But there is a work of God going on that is more powerful than anything else. I am walking as a resurrected one now, not as one who's buried on the horizontal. I am now somebody that has been baptized by Jesus, not by some sort of priest, but by Jesus himself. And we are now on God's side. And all the problems I've got is God's problems, not mine. And he works and wills his good pleasure amongst us so that we're able to walk with God and do God-sized work. Now, very often the God-sized work is very ordinary things done in the name of Christ. I now are beginning to forgive those who sin against me. I love those who are my enemies. I would not do that normally, would I? But supernaturally, in the work of God's Spirit, now that I walk in the Spirit, the Word of God becomes an etched as a living testimony to Christ across all what God has instructed me in. We are filled with God's work. The works of faith is the works of God. And we are gradually being enabled to do as Christ has called us to do. Something we could not do of the flesh, but is being done by the Spirit. And the evidence of God's love within me, that I have received such glorious things, is that I know that my sins have been forgiven. And I know that I walk with God, because the gospel is no longer some kind of theoretical religious formula, but it is a work of God's power within me. The gospel, Paul said concerning the gospel, I am not ashamed of the gospel because of the power of God unto salvation. It's the energy, the dunamos, the power of God that works and wills his good pleasure within me. That's the person that is walking in the Spirit. Notice also that there are two kinds of people, those that are carnally minded and those who are spiritually minded. The carnally minded don't even get to heaven. There's no such thing as a carnal Christian. You might find carnal churches, as the Apostle Paul says, because they behave like the world and are fleshly in their behaviour, because a church has never, ever fully got everyone believing. The churches are made up of people seeking God, often made up of people who are visiting the church and need to hear the gospel. And very often they need to sit under the ministry for years before they actually get converted. But nonetheless, the church can behave often carnally. But a true Christian will not behave carnally. He will fall into sin, but he will never be dominated by sin. He will become backslidden, as David, remember, King David fell into adultery and murder and lying and cheating. But he didn't stay there. Remember Judas. He denied the Lord and went out and hung himself. He was filled with remorse, but he didn't receive repentance. Peter, on the other hand, denied the Lord, and somehow the Lord prayed for him because he was one of his own. And he prayed for him, although the devil said, I want to sift you like wheat. If it wasn't for Christ, Peter would have fallen the same way as Judas. But Peter found repentance, which is a beautiful gift. He saw that Jesus was his Saviour. He clung to Jesus and he was restored. He did fall into sin, but he was given the unction from God, the Holy Spirit, to walk with Jesus, and in Jesus he was saved. The true evidence of our walk with God is that we begin to love God's law and its righteousness, because Jesus is righteous. We begin to take God's word to our heart, and it's not something we just read and pass by. It is something that we feel the word of God has been like drink and food to us. It's something that we imbibe. I remember when I was a non-Christian, I set myself to read the Bible chapter by chapter, one chapter a day, until I finished it. I always got up to chapter 10 of Genesis. I could not read on my own, outside my church life, the Bible. When they asked me, "Have you read the Bible, Richard?" And I would say, "Yes." And I knew I was lying, because I never had. But I remember when the Lord touched me when I was 23 years old, and I came away from that experience and I began to devour God's word. Within 6 months, I'd read the Bible, even though I suffered from dyslexia at the time. And I just devoured it because it was the food for my soul. That's evidence of God's Spirit in my life. There was nothing good about me, but God in his grace was giving that cessation, the need to know God's word. I would become more dominated by the works of God through his Spirit. And that is the experience of every Christian. We will fall, and some of us may be in deep disability at the moment because of our sin. God will never leave you there. God will lead you out of that and give you strength this very moment as you walk away from it. Sin for the believer is that when we see it, we die to it. We put it in the grave. We don't try and massage it. We don't try and discipline it. We simply mortify it and put it in the grave. And in the place of that, we find another righteous habit to put in place of it. And gradually, your life is becoming more like Christ. It will one day be glorified with Christ on the last day of your life. And you will find that God will bring great pleasure within your heart. And so here, that the workings of God are deeply etched within us. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. Now, that the law of God be fulfilled within us. And so he says in verse 4, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. In other words, that there is a deep ethical development of our Christian lives, a Christ-likeness that will develop over us as the Spirit of God works and wills his good pleasure. As we deal with sin, the Christian now can deal with our sin. We don't have to live with it any longer. We put it in the grave and deal with it. And in that, we find that there is a walking, and not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Wherever the Spirit of God is, You will find the ministry of the Word of God is deeply doing its graces within you. I find that if anybody is tearing the Word of God apart, I found that when I was at theological college, there were lecturers that I don't think really knew the Lord at all, the way in which they were tearing the Word of God apart and also implanting it within their students, where they became distrustful of God's Word. That is a total inconsistency in the Christian life. And we find that what we have in that we'll see that the spiritual graces will become more and more evident. Love and joy and peace, patience, will be ever growing in your life. If you are not different from the days of your conversion, there is something seriously wrong. And you need to get right with God. I know for me that happened when I was 23 years old, after about 3 years of being in the atmosphere of terror over my own sin. I can recall going back home after a party which I should never have been at, and going into my local church. I used to attend church every Lord's Day. And kneeling down at 2 o'clock in the morning in that church, because in those days the churches used to be left open for people wanting to enter them to have time of prayer. And I can recall, Lord, I don't know how to pray. And the words came to me, have mercy upon me, for I am a sinner. I don't know where that prayer came from, except it was my first time I ever really prayed personally to God. And then a promise came to me. I don't know where it came from. There is more joy over in heaven among the angels than over 99 that need no repentance. And I sensed the sense of joy flooded my heart, and I walked out of that church with joy inexpressible, and I was never the same again. My life was beginning to be cleaned up, and my walk began to reflect the will of God. My friends, we are pardoned in Jesus Christ. The evidence of that is found in the workings of God as a result of the applying of the baptism that comes from Jesus, regeneration. The gift of eternal life will be given to us. We will walk in a way that will be in every way reflected within the Word of God, which is the Word of Christ. The doctrines of God's Word will become evident within our lives. It will be like blood flowing through our veins. We'll begin to think theologically according to the Word of God. And anything that's found in the Word of God becomes our interest. And we begin to serve God biblically and graciously. And so we see that in us these things are being fulfilled. In us. Because we're in Christ. Because now there is no condemnation that we have in this great gospel. We have a Redeemer that has forgiven us. Blessed be the name of God. Our gracious God, we pray that as we come at this particular point, that we should rejoice at your gracious work. Though we might be reluctant of spirit, you are powerful to bring us to the point of confessing our sin, turning to Jesus, and knowing the baptism of the Holy Spirit that we might walk not according to the flesh, governed by the flesh, but according to the Spirit, governed according to your word and Spirit, that we might walk as free people, as well as being pardoned. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.